I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Around the globe, people are on the move in search of better lives. That's true in Africa, where wave after wave of migrants leave their homes in search of better lives in Europe. Most do not succeed. The few who do are often on the move for years before they find a new place to call home. In the first report of our week-long series on nomadic migration around the world, Philip Martin tells the story of one man's difficult journey to the United States.
Inside a classroom at the Emily Griffith School in downtown Denver, 27-year-old Daoud Ali Muhammad is trying to improve his English.
Is your apartment warm or cold?
Cold.
Why? Do you have heat?
No.
The class gives Daoud a chance to talk about the challenges he's facing in the U.S.
Why do you say no, Daoud?
I don't have it.
You don't have it in
either. My apartment.
In spite of day-to-day hardships in chilly Denver, this city has welcomed Somali refugees for decades. Many came directly from that failed state, the poorest and most unstable in Africa. Others were airlifted to the U.S. from refugee camps in neighboring countries. But Daoud represents a new kind of refugee, one whose route to the U.S. was much more complicated, according to Barbara Eisworth of Ikashta Refugee Harvesting Network, a nonprofit based in Tucson.
With Daoud, we're seeing a different Somali population coming in that their paths were longer and more convoluted. So that is different in that they have been struggling and adapting and readjusting and resettling in various countries.
I'm just looking for a place to call home, Daoud says.
What is the date?
On a recent evening, it's 15 degrees outside, and Daoud throws on a thick coat as his English class comes to an end. He says the cold weather and no job makes life in Denver difficult, but it's nothing compared to the journey he took to get here. Before landing in the U.S., Daoud had lived in 7 different countries, most recently on the small island nation of Malta. He first fled on foot across Somalia's border in 1992 at the age of 9. Daoud recalls these events with the help of a translator and friend, Omar Noor.
My family was killed, and that was the tipping point for me to flee and leave Somalia. I fled to Kenya, and I lived there till 2003. From Kenya, I went to Ethiopia, and I couldn't live there, and then I left Ethiopia. Then from Ethiopia, I went to Sudan, and I stayed there for a while, and then I moved to Egypt. And then from Egypt, I ended up in Libya. I went to Libya.
Libya is where tens of thousands of desperately poor sub-Saharan migrants like Daoud end up. They attempt the often deadly trip in spite of red-hot deserts, hungry hyenas, and rampant banditry. Some of those who make it find work in Libya, but most become stranded there with little to do. And most set their sights on Europe. Daoud tried to make the trip north aboard a smuggling vessel, but he was arrested as he tried to board and sent to a prison in Tripoli, where he became seriously ill.
The conditions inside the jail was horrible, and I believe it used to be a chemical plant or something because we had skin rashes, and the Libyan prison guards used to beat us at least twice a day, and that's what created and forced us to break out of jail. My intention was just to get out of Libya and head to the seas and see wherever my luck takes me.
Daoud alleges that his dark skin hue had a lot to do with how he was treated in Libya.
They directly called me a slave, so it was horrible. They tell it in your face.
Jean-Philippe Chauzy is Director of Communications for the International Organization for Migration in Geneva. He's traveled frequently to Libya and says Daoud's story is shared by many migrants there.
They came in clandestinely, or their passports have been confiscated or lost. They've got no money. They're not getting any proper jobs. They cannot go forward because they realize the risks, or they don't have the money to pay smugglers. They can't go back because they don't have any documentation. The smuggling routes only work in one direction, south, north.
And north was where Daoud Ali Muhammad was determined to go when he boarded a second smuggling boat with the goal of reaching Italy.
Some of our friends had relatives outside in Europe, and they send some money. So we pay a middleman, and he put us a boat that wasn't working well. And when we just left Libya, maybe about a couple of miles, the engine died. So we had to swim back to shore, make sure the Libyan coastal guards don't catch us again.
A 2009 treaty between Italy and Libya has substantially reduced the number of African migrants that actually make it to Europe. But poverty, war, and instability in their home countries compel many to keep trying. So after nearly 24 months in and out of Libyan jails, Daoud again headed to the sea. He boarded a dinghy with dozens of other Africans in yet another effort to reach Europe.
The third time we were successfully landed in Malta.
The Maltese Navy rescued Daoud and his fellow travelers after their boat began to sink. When Daoud finally stepped foot in Europe, it was not the Europe of his dreams.
We were immediately detained, and we were in prison for almost 5 months.
Eventually, with the help of both the U.S. and the United Nations Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, Daoud finally got out of Malta and made it to Denver, where he's now trying to start a new life. But thousands of other African migrants trying to reach mainland Europe remain stuck in Malta, the EU's smallest member state. With a population of just 400,000, the tiny island nation is trying to discourage illegal migration to its shores. Most black asylum seekers who arrive there are jailed, like Daoud, some of them for as long as 18 months. Maltese officials say they have little choice in the matter because they simply don't have room or resources to cope with this wave of illegal migrants. So they are trying to get the word out that these tired, poor, and huddled masses are not welcome in Malta. For the world, I'm Philip Martin.